Well, today being the 14th day of the month of June, almost halfway through the month of June, and it just got started, amen? But today we begin lesson number 2 as we look at the book of Acts. This series, this new series, is entitled The Word Spreads, a study in the book of Acts. And today I want us to look at this as we look at the birth of the church. The birth of the church. Now, last week we learned about the message of Acts and how the Lord continued to manifest His plan of reaching all the world through the gospel, through the witness of those that were changed by the message of the gospel. And what God uses all sinners saved by grace to do the most marvelous work that could ever be done in this world. And He doesn't use angels, okay? He doesn't use seraphim, anything like that in heaven, but He uses those of you and me that were saved by the wonderful grace of God to share the message. I've already heard today of folks being saved. A lot of our folks went Thursday night to the carnival thing. We had folks saved there. We had folks saved out on the streets, different other places we had visiting. God's good. And God wants his entire intent is for the world to know Him as their Savior. And God wants to use you and me to get that message out. And that's what we have to do. So I want us to see this today. The lesson here deals about the purpose of our Lord's local New Testament church. And I want us to look at this today. And I want us to see and understand that none of this would have ever happened without the precious Word of God. You know, the Word of God in the Old Testament was fulfilled in the New Testament. We have this today that we might know what God's plan is for us. But they took the message of the gospel. They were unashamed of declaring it. They withstood persecution and all kinds of situations. They withstood it all. And they did it all because they knew what Christ had done for them. And folks, that's why you and I today are the witnesses, are to be the witnesses for Christ that we're to be. Because we can share with folks what Christ has done for us. Now, I want us to look at it today. And again, I'll just tell you straight out, we will not finish this today, okay? We won't finish it. Surprise, 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 all right? We won't finish it. But it's going to be a good start. And I want to get you to seeing God's plan for the birth of the church. All right? So let's look at it here today. As we begin this lesson today, I want to again remind us of the purpose for for the church, for the local church. We are not here to be a big glamour shot place. We're not here to be a mega church. We're not here to put on a show for the world or to be like the world. We are to be witnesses unto the Lord, starting right where we are. Now, I want us to look at this. I want us to go back to Acts chapter 1, and I want us to look at verses 4 through 8 today. And here the Bible records some of the last words spoken by our Savior to His disciples. Before He ascended back up into heaven, He gave them instruction. He spent 40 days with them. 40 days teaching them, encouraging them, reminding them of the message that they were to go out and tell the world about. And He said here, He said they were to wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of Me, He said. And then He said this, He said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized, immersed with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And then He told them in verse number 8, He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part on the earth. Now, let me ask you this morning. Why would Jesus compel His disciples to stay in Jerusalem and wait, as we saw here in verse number 4? Why would He do that? Let me tell you why. because he had a plan. And they could not fulfill God's plan without being filled with God's power. And you and I today cannot be the witnesses for Christ that we ought to be without the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling upon us. Now, I know of folks right now that say, oh, yeah, I met a lady one day and she told, I asked her, you know, if you died today, do you know for certain you're going to go to heaven if you were to die? Oh, honey, I've been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I speak in tongues and handle snakes and all this stuff. And I said, but if you died today, are you 100% certain that you'd go to heaven if you were to die? And basically she said, well, what's that got to do with anything? It's got everything to do with it, folks. Listen, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And when we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and he indwells us as believers. He dwells in us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost that dwells within us. That's why you need to take care of your body. You try to take care of it, not to look strong and muscular and all this good stuff. That's not it. Listen, you know, you can die with a perfectly healthy body, okay? But you are to be the temple of the Holy Ghost of God that dwells within you. And he told them here, I believe with all my heart. It's because those poor disciples, bless their hearts, they didn't understand. Look at Acts chapter 1 just a moment. They ask him here in verse number, let me find it here. Let me look here. I had it written down and I marked the verse, but I didn't underline it. Okay, verse number 6. Verse number 6 here. When these disciples came to him and he said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They're wanting to find out if Israel now is going to be put back in power. They're going to be out from under the Roman tyranny and the Roman power system and all this stuff. They were looking at their world, politically speaking, okay? Are we going to put the Romans out and you put in your kingdom now? And see, that's not what Jesus was trying to get them to see. Folks, there's more to our world today than the political scenes that you see. The political, listen, if we as Christians would do right, we would vote right. And folks ask me all the time, say, preacher, how are you going to vote? I'm going to vote biblically, amen? For those things which glorify God, not those things which are abomination and sin. So we need to think about this thing. The only way that we can make our world, our city, our county, our state, our nation better is to get back to the Word of God. Many of the failures in our nation today are pulpit failures. People have a name, okay? They bear leaves of profession. I'm a member of this church, that church, whatever. But they bear no fruit of possession. They don't show forth the power of God in their lives to be witnesses, which will change the hearts and lives of men, women, boys, and girls if they come to know the Savior. And so Jesus has to straighten them out. And look what he said to him in verse number 7. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Remember that before the Spirit of God came to dwell within the body of these believers, all of the disciples had forsaken Christ. Peter, the one that said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, though all men leave you, I'll never do that. And what did Peter do? He did just like what Jesus said he was going to do. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And he did. And he was ashamed of it. And as we looked in our last study, you remember in the book of John? What was he doing? He was down at the fishing pier, naked as a jaybird, fishing on his boat and catching nothing all night. And Jesus said, hey, cast your net on the right side of the ship. And God blessed them. And then the question was to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Jesus asked him that three times. Why? Because Peter denied him three times. And Jesus asked him, he said, if you love me, then feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Do what I've saved you to do. And now he tells them, while they're waiting, they're thinking, oh, we're going to be in power now. We're going to have all this and all that. He says, that's not the power that you need to worry about. You need the power from God to be witnesses unto me, starting right here where you live. I remember talking to a missionary one time, a guy that was going to go to the mission field. And he didn't go out visiting here in America. He didn't work a bus route. He didn't do anything like that. And he wanted us to support him for going to Africa. And I said, well, are you going to go to Africa and do what? He said, we're going to be missionaries there. We're going to be witnesses for Christ there. And I said, well, don't you think you ought to be doing that here before I pay for you to go there? You know? Folks, listen to me today. There are churches, there are individuals I know that have the funds to pay missionaries all around the world, but they won't step across the street to tell a lost man or a lost family about the Savior that needs to be saved. And Jesus said, listen, if it's going to be real, it needs to be real right where you are. Because if it's not real where you are, it won't be real anywhere else. And so he told them that here. He said, but wait for the promise of the Father. Ye have heard of me. And he said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And folks, the purpose of our Lord's New Testament church today. Listen, God's not looking to see if you're a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Moravian or a Presbyterian or a Catholic or a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or whatever. That's not what's going to impress God. That's not what's going to get you into heaven. Listen, Jesus said, you must be born again. And folks need to understand that today. And we need to take that message of the gospel. And folks, this is still the plan that we reach our community with the gospel. I believe with all my heart that is why God has blessed this church for nearly 60 years. Because the desire of this ministry has been to reach the community with the gospel. And it's like Pastor always teaches us. If you will tell folks how to get to heaven, God will tell folks how to get to our church. Don't worry about it. Our job is not to build a church. That's the Lord's job. Amen. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're to take the message and tell folks about salvation, and then God will bring those people to our church. Does that make sense to you? Do you see that today? And this is the purpose of God's church, this New Testament church. So I want us to look at it. Number one, I want us to see our Lord's preparation for His church. His preparation, in preparation for the birth of His church, Jesus would remind His disciples to simply obey His instructions and wait on the Lord. How many of you like to wait for anything? Somebody said, it's like the old saying is, I want patience and I want it now. Amen? But you listen to me. The Bible says, Romans chapter 5, that it is tribulation that worketh patience. And I don't want tribulation. I don't want the heartaches and the troubles and the trials. But it comes. It happens. And we have to endure those things sometimes. These folks were fearful of the adversaries around them. They had seen what the Jews had done to Jesus. They had seen the Roman soldiers beat him and mock him and rail on him, scourge him, spit in his face, blindfold him and smite him left and right, and then laugh and say, "Now prophesy and tell us who it was that struck you." They had seen all that had happened with their Savior, and they were scared to death. I would have been too. They hid themselves. But I want you to remember, these folks were fearful of the adversaries around them. But the Holy Spirit of God had already inspired the psalmist David to instruct them what to do. Now I want you to look at something here today. In Psalm chapter 37, this is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Psalms. One of my favorite chapters. I don't have but 150 favorite chapters in Psalms, but this is one of them, okay? Psalm chapter 37, verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. You know, those folks that call you up and yell at you and cuss at you and fuss at you and mock you and laugh at you and ridicule and all these other things. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against workers of iniquity. Why? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now here's his instruction. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen. They had that promise from the Word of God, but they needed power. They needed strength. They were to obey the Lord and wait for the Lord to do the work that he had promised that he would do in their lives in order for them to do the work that he had given them to do in the world. And folks, that's the way you and I are today. We need the power of God in our lives. Amen. The power of God enables you to stand boldly for truth when others don't want to stand for truth. The power of the Word of God will enable you to stand boldly and be the witness that God wants you to be around those folks that laugh and mock at you. We had a lady Thursday night jogging up the sidewalk. We were going door to door. Man, it was a hot night. Man, we got just in time out of the rain, and we're able to get us a Slurpee at 7-Eleven over here before the bottom fell out. Amen. I was quenched. Brother Mike was quenched. And man, I tried to give this lady a gospel tract as she went by. And I said, "Could I invite you to come to church with us one Sunday?" And she said, blankety blank, no, and just kept on running and didn't want to hear anything about it. And you know, my first thought was, in the flesh, I want to jerk a knot in her, okay? That's what I wanted to do, okay? But the Spirit of God said, "You know what? You need to pray for her because she's going to stand before me one day. She's going to stand before the Lord one day, and she's going to remember every time that they turned away an opportunity to hear the message of the gospel." You know, our job is not to hate them. Our job is to love them to Jesus. That's what Jesus did for you and for me. The Bible tells me that his disciples who forsook him, he loved them to the end. All the way to the end, he still loved them. He had a job for them. So under the inspiration of the power of the Holy Spirit of God, Isaiah wrote these words to comfort all who would be willing to trust and obey the Lord. And I want you to look at this in Isaiah chapter 40. This is Old Testament. Folks say, "Well, Old Testament don't mean anything. We're in the New Testament day." This is what these men had. And this is what God used to strengthen them. And if God could use it to strengthen them, God can use it to strengthen you and me today. Amen. Listen to what he said. Isaiah chapter 40. Beginning in verse number 25. "To whom then Will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He called them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, now look at that, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's the Lord God Jehovah, Almighty God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. I thank God for that. Neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall fail and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I want you to understand today that in preparation for the birth of his New Testament church, there were preparations that Jesus would need to make. And then there were preparations that those who followed him would need to make in their lives. And one of those preparations was to learn to wait on the Lord. Child of God, let me tell you today, wait on the Lord. Trust in him. Commit thy way unto him, and he shall bring it to pass. Let's look at this a minute. I want you to see Jesus' preparation for the birth of his New Testament church. Let's look at it. The fact of his bodily resurrection. When those disciples saw the mutilated body of our Savior taken down from that cross, wrapped in linen with over 100 pounds of spices and aloes and things like that that Nicodemus and Joseph brought to wrap the Savior in. They had to wait 3 days and three nights, and they wondered, will he really arise? Some had even forgotten the words that he had spoken, that he would rise again. The disciples hid themselves because they were afraid that the same thing that had happened to Jesus would now happen to them if they uttered his name. They were living in fear. But the fact of the bodily resurrection of our Savior from the tomb, it made all the difference. And it still makes the difference today, amen? I got a Savior that's alive, amen? I can go to him when I bow on my knees, and I go to him with my every need, my every care, my every burden. Man, he's there to hear it. He's there to answer that prayer. The Bible said here, Acts chapter 1, verse 1, Luke wrote, he said, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Look at this. To whom also he showed himself alive. Jesus came and showed himself to be alive. Paul wrote about it in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He was seen of over 500 witnesses. The Old Testament scripture said that all you needed was two or three witnesses to make a thing true. There were over 500 witnesses that saw that he was alive and well. Amen. And you remember how we studied that in our last series in the book of John. The Bible said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus knew then if his disciples did not know and believe that their Savior was alive, then the lost world would never come to know it either. And folks, if you don't realize the fact of the resurrection, the fact that we have a living Savior today that's alive and well, if you've been born by the power of God, you've been born again, the Spirit of God lives within you. He wants you to realize He's there for you, to teach you, to lead you, to guide you, to help you, to comfort you in times of need. Jesus knew that if the resurrection was not an important factor in the lives of these disciples, then it would not be an important factor or even a motivating factor in the hope of ever getting the message of the gospel out to the rest of the world. And so He had to prepare them. He took time to spend with them, 40-some days. The Old Testament scriptures prophesied that Jesus would not only die for the sins of the world, but that He would also rise up again for the remission of those sins. Do you realize that today? He did all of this so that you and I could be saved. Now, go back. Well, I'm not going to have you turn there. Just make a note of this. I think I've got it in the bulletin. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 8 through 10. Psalm chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. Psalm chapter 22, verses 25 through 27. And there's many more. These are the scriptures that these folks had that said of what Jesus would come and do, the Messiah would come and do. Today, we have the complete canon of scriptures, all 66 books that show not only what He said He would come and do, but it shows us the proof that He did come and fulfill those scriptures, and He did what He said He would do. Do you see that today? All right. Now, I do want you to go back to Luke chapter 24 just a minute. Look at this. In Luke chapter 24, and this is where Jesus is speaking to His disciples. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. These are the words, Jesus said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Now, let me stop right there just a minute. Some of you today are asking questions. What's going to happen with Israel? And all this stuff is happening over in the Middle East right now. And all this stuff is happening in our world right now. Jesus said before He could come back again that all of these things must come to pass. So when you see these things coming to pass, keep your eyes on heaven, because our redemption draweth nigh. All these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me, Jesus said. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. What scriptures? The Old Testament scriptures. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. We got a living Savior. Amen. And He had a purpose. He had a plan. We don't worship some dead God. We don't worship somebody that's not alive, that's a fake, or his body was stolen somewhere. We've got a Savior that's alive. And He wants us to realize that today. And here in Acts chapter 1, Luke again picks up on that fact that Jesus is indeed alive. And folks, if you don't realize that Jesus is alive, you got nothing to be hopeful for today. Listen, if Jesus did not live, we would have no hope for tomorrow. We would have no hope for heaven. If Jesus died at the hands of sinful men, at the will of Satan to do away with Him, and remained in that tomb, then you and I would not have any hope of a living Savior, of salvation. But we do have a living Savior, amen? And we do have eternal salvation. And we do have hope today. And we do have a message to proclaim. And that message is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will change anyone's lives. If it can change my heart, it can change your heart. And it makes a difference. So here, again, he proves, Luke writes these things. And he said that he was there with them for some 40 days after the resurrection. And he was indeed alive. And he proved it by many infallible proofs. Many infallible proofs. Now I want you to listen to me, man. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, how that Jesus was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. And at the time that Paul was writing this, he said, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. And if you go back and you look at Luke chapter 24 again, verses 38 and 39, Jesus encouraged his disciples. And he said, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. There are some religious groups today that say, oh, Jesus only arose as a spirit being. Read that. Jesus said, touch me, feel me. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And in that same chapter, down in verse 41, the Bible said, Luke again writes, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said to them, have you here any meat? And they kind of shook their heads probably and said, yeah. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Man, a spirit doesn't do that. Casper can't do something like that. But a risen Savior can, amen? Yeah. We got a risen Savior. And then if you go down to verse 44, the Bible said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet among you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he ends up down there in verse 48 and says, and ye are witnesses of these things. The fact that Jesus was alive was indisputable. His hands proved it. His feet proved it. He ate with them. He fellowshiped with them. He encouraged their hearts. And the fact that of a risen Savior is made evident by God, all throughout the book of Acts, is essentially a very vital first step in Christ preparing his disciples for the job that he wanted them to do. Folks, if you don't realize that Jesus is alive and well, you won't do anything for him. So be thankful that we have a Savior that's alive and well. Amen? But fact number two is this, the fact of Jesus' instructions to his disciples that he gave to them. And next week we'll look at that. Amen? We're going to look at the instructions. Hey, listen. The Savior we have today, he's alive. He wants to work in your life today. He wants to work in my life today. But we got to realize that he is alive. We got to realize that he's got a plan for us. And we got to realize today that, listen, you and I are the ones that will stand between people spending eternity either separated from God in hell or with the Lord Jesus one day in heaven. We have a message to proclaim, and it begins with knowing that we got a living Savior. Amen. Let's rejoice in that today. Father, I sure do love you. And Lord God, I'd just be speaking words amiss today if I didn't believe you were alive and were hearing me today. But God, I know that you're alive. I know that you hear my words today. I see you answer prayer. I see you working in the lives of your people here in this church. And Lord, I know what you've done for me. And I know what you've done for others. Thank you, dear God, that we have a job to do for you that can be done from a heart that's grateful. And Lord, thankful that you are alive. Please help us, Lord, to be those witnesses for you today. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.